Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we've got another interesting interview with our local DNR fish biologist, Max Walter. And then lastly, we've got some great spring crappie tips for you from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
You could literally drive to a boat show every weekend. Hi, this is Johnny from Hayward Power Sports. Go ahead, have some fun, check them out, then come see us. Their salesmen want you to believe that they get the best prices from the manufacturer and are offering show-only deals. The truth is, our sales volume allows us to buy boats at the same discounts as the big city dealers. And Hayward Power Sports has a huge selection of new Lund and Tracker fishing boats. Plus, we have our largest selection ever of pontoons in stock with gorgeous Benningtons and the number one selling pontoons in the world, Sun Tracker. Hayward Power Sports also carries every major outboard with Honda, Yamaha, Evinrude, Suzuki, and Mercury with the best warranty offers of the year going on now. And while the boat show finds you the best financing for the dealer, we work with our banks to get the best financing for you. Our boat show is continuous, so come see us today at Hayward Power Sports. Just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or at haywardpowersports.com.
Have more fun than ever before at Hayward Power Sports. Let's have some fun!
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of broad sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and helping co-host today is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, John.
You know, we're getting closer and closer and closer. I mean, we're already, this show's into April. I mean, it's like, hopefully that ice is going to go away, but they've been doing pretty good ice fishing up till now even.
Yeah, I mean, guys are still getting out. You know, as we're talking right now, you know, for the most part, a lot of the shorelines have been holding up pretty well. You know, do keep in mind some of the lakes that have current in it, you know, and still go out there with a safe ice mentality.
You know, I suspect we're going to be at least in the middle till the middle of April here before we get down to where the ice is getting just about gone in some places.
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate, and it all depends on what good old Mother Nature decides to bring us.
It usually is anytime from mid-April till, you know, the latest it'll be around fishing opener, but usually around the middle of April it starts going bad. Mother Nature seems to be able to adjust no matter what we think. It kind of compensates.
Yep.
You know, and they've been doing pretty good, you said, on crappies though and stuff. Do you think that's going to continue on into open water for once we get to open water?
Yeah, well, you know, it's progressively gotten better for anglers out there, and I think once the open water happens, it should hold strong and only progress to get better at leading up to their spawn. So
yeah, most of the things, Tim Duffy will be talking about that later in the show here, but one of the biggest things people make is they look too shallow most of the time when that water's cold.
Yeah, it's still a deeper water bite, and yeah, you're absolutely right. I think once you hit that open water, you kind of have that summertime mentality, and it's not quite yet.
How about up along Lake Superior? I know some of the local guys and some of the people in northern Wisconsin head up there. You got the steelhead season open. You got, you know, they'll be trolling as soon as they can get out along some areas up there.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as ice is out, they're hitting it.
You know, in some of the places, you know, you're going to wait for the ice to get out of Shawamigan Bay, but you get up on where you got exposed to the big lake, like over by the Montreal River, over toward Michigan border. That opens up quicker over there, and there's a boat launch over there. And then you get up toward
the Brule River there. There's a couple of places of boat launches up there. That's looking out at the big part of the lake, and that opens up quick. And that's actually up there is actually pretty good walleye fishing if you can get out there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a little bit of a method to the madness, and you know, some of that where the islands are, and you know, Shawangan Bay, you know, it's a little bit encapsulated where the ice does hang around a little bit longer. But once you get to areas that are more exposed to the big lake, it's definitely going to be easier to get on.
Well, you know, we're still going to be looking at cold water. I mean, in cold water species like the trout seem to be a little bit more responsive, but even there, they slow down some in that cold water.
Yeah, a little bit. They will get a little lethargic. And so, I mean, we do look forward to those days that are warming, and because it is benefiting that water temperature and warming up as well. So trying to get those fish active.
Well, you're fly fishing up there for them. I mean, literally putting your cast and literally straining the water sometimes as that water's colder makes a big difference.
Yeah, and, you know, when they're in the river system, you know, they can be a lot more lethargic, you know, because if you have a night that gets down into the freezing temperatures, you know, it's a smaller portion that's getting colder, whereas, you know, if they're in the big lake, it's, you know, they have some options to move around and find warmer water conditions. But, yeah, it's definitely unique.
Not only sometimes you got to get your fly or your lure closer to the fish, but sometimes just the angle it comes past them makes a difference.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just that right drift that, you know, it's in their zone, it's in that small strike zone, and their guys scoop it up.
Yeah, I think part of it might be that just a responsive strike. They turn and snap at stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, again, we think about these fish. They're up in the river not to feed. They're actually up there in the river to spawn. So, you know, a lot of times we do try to imitate, you know, other fish that have spawned, like using eggs or actually physically spawn sacks for some anglers may use, and other different things that some of the conventional tackle guys might use. And then we'll also try using, there's a little bit of a niche of group of guys that will swing flies, and we'll utilize patterns that are more adjacent with like sculpins and other types of bait fish that they feed on.
Lots of interesting things. I know guys that are preparing, we'll talk about some of the things coming up like the turkey season and stuff later in the show here, but the guys are getting ready for some of that stuff and looking at new tackle for this year. I know they expanded the store here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. A lot of big selection in here now.
Oh gosh, I think we're able to accommodate any angler, really.
A lot of interesting stuff. Well, Eric, you know, we got to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors to help bring this show to you every week. I mean, it wouldn't be there if it wasn't for our fine sponsors. And we come back, I've got an interview again with our Max Walter, our DNR biologist in the area, this time talking about a muskie tagging study. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, gear up for the upcoming fishing season, and if you're getting ready for the spring turkey season too, they also have just about everything you'll need for a successful season. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Riding the Ski-Doo snowmobile is an experience unlike any other, and Spring Fever offers deals unlike any other at Hayward Power Sports. Order your new 2019 Ski-Doo snowmobile by April 11th and get 4 years of warranty coverage or $750 off accessories and gear. Be the first to get the new Rotax-built 900 Ace turbo engine on the revolutionary RevGen 4 platform. Plus, it's your only chance to order X or XRS packages with custom upgrades. Get to Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Get that Ski-Doo feeling.
Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336. Or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors with myself, John Myrie, and co-host helping is Eric Tuohy. And Eric, you know, I know you just mentioned you got a new pit tag scanner this year because they're doing that pit tag where they put these little tiny tags in these muskies. They could tell when it was caught last and keep track of what's going on.
Yeah, so they're, you know, you're going to get a lot of information from what Max is going to let you know. And, you know, anything from adults to fish that have been stocked. So, you know, if it's an adult fish, yeah, we're able to keep a unique track record to see its growth in time, maybe see how many times it's actually been caught. And then likewise with even these fish that have been stocked and seeing how they're growing and, you know, maybe how many times they're caught. It definitely is extremely beneficial to our muskie fishery and learning more about our fish.
You bet, and learning is a big name of the game. Let's hear what Max had to say about that, and when we come back, we'll have even more on your outdoors. We're down at our Wisconsin DNR office in Hayward here, and I'm talking to our fish biologist, Max Walter, and we're talking about a lot of different things today. One of the things I know you've been involved with is some things on muskies, right? Quite a bit on muskies, actually.
Yeah, we've been tagging muskies for a number of years now, but we've really been ramping it up and putting a lot more pit tags, which it's just PIT. It stands right for Passive Integrated Transponder. And we put those right in the fish. They're about the size of a grain of rice. You can't see them. They're implanted in the fish, so if you catch a fish with a tag, you wouldn't know unless you have a scanner. But those tags are really, really useful for us for managing muskies, especially when it's figuring out, you know, how to stock them, where to stock them, where do we need to stock them, how fast are they growing, where are they moving to. And so we're putting tons and tons of those out there now.
I know they can move around a lot on a lake, and things change, and you can actually... You're getting a lot of recapture data back on that, right?
Exactly, yeah. And so one thing we did in 2016 is we tagged almost 6,000 fingerlings that we stocked into the Chippewa flowage. They were nice-sized fish. They averaged about 13.5 inches. And what we did is we tracked the number of the fish to the location we stocked it at. So we stocked a big batch at CC North, and we know all the numbers of the fish we stocked there. CC South, same thing. And then a couple other locations. And what we can do now is we can figure out how those fish are distributing throughout the flowage, how quickly they're moving from one area to another. Are they going east and west? You know, how long do they stay around their stocking site? And that's going to help us figure out a number of things. You know, is one stocking site better than another? Do we see better survival in one place? Could be related to predators, food in the area, something like that. It'll tell us if we need to use more stocking sites to get those fish distributed. For example, we didn't stock any fish into Chief or Crane Lake. You know, that's extra trucking and extra hauling and all that. We only used a handful of sites on the main lake. Do some of those fish make their way up into there? And if they don't, then we need to make sure that we're going in and stocking those areas specifically. So we're going to learn a lot from doing that.
I know I would back on one of the first telemetry studies on muskies was done on Moose Lake. Mike Dombeck did it. And yep. I have the report in my filing cabinet on that. And it was interesting because muskies behave differently. You might have a big chunk of the muskies may become homebodies and stay within a certain area, a small area, and there'll be one or two that'll wander off and be way out all over, moving all over the water. So
right, yeah, absolutely. And we're going to learn a lot of stuff like that. And I think it's worth noting at this point that these pit tags, they're not the same as the radio tag you mentioned. That's right. A little more involved.
Right.
Typically, you can only do a handful of fish in a lake, but you can track them every day. You know, you can go out and check on them 24/7 if you wanted to. The pit tags, we have to actually catch the fish and scan it to know where it's at. So that's a bit of a disadvantage, but the advantage is they're much cheaper and we can put tons of them out there. So in Sawyer County, we've put out 23,000 of those tags into muskies.
You've also, you got to out there, you've got a number of people that are carrying these readers to be able to read them. It's not just something you guys got to do as far as DNR.
That's right. Yeah, we've got a number of guides in the area and Muskies Inc. members that have their own readers assigned to them now, so they can go and scan the fish that they catch. And that's been a really fun, interesting, and useful part of the program.
I know, you know, you can tell a lot from where the fish are moving, dispersing, doing a lot of things from that. And people want to get involved with that. How do they get involved?
Well, the readers aren't cheap. So some people can go out and get them on their own. We've had a few people that have done that. Other ways they can get involved would be, you know, participate with Muskies Inc. And they may have readers you can loan out. They have helped with purchasing readers and pit tags and things like that. So if you're really passionate about Muskies and you want to get involved in this project, I would say get involved with our local Muskies Inc. chapter. And from there, you know, we can get you interested in this and maybe get you on the boat with us to do some of the recapturing. And we do a lot of the tagging at the hatchery, and we always need volunteers for that too.
How much of this information is coming back from people out there outside of the DNR that are scanning fish?
We have a few guides that have gotten really good at it, and they're catching a good number of fish. Others, you know, they're struggling to find a good number of recaptures. But the thing is that over time, it's going to get easier and easier to catch recaptured fish because we're putting more tags out every year into new water bodies. We're putting stocked fish out there with tags, and so that really helps. You know, we put 1,000 of them out at once in a lake, or maybe more. In the Chippewa Flowage, we did close to 6,000 in 1 year, so that really is going to improve the odds of people catching tagged fish in the future. And I think it turns a pretty average fish, like maybe a 36 inch muskie, into something very interesting, because then you can call the tag in and I can tell you a lot about that fish once I know the tag number and where you caught it, how far it's moved, how much it's grown since we saw it, where we originally tagged it, whether it's a male or a female. So it really kind of, you know, peels back the curtain on these fish, and you can learn a bunch of their secrets.
Well, you know, it's always interesting because even when they used to put the metal tags in or the tags, I remember mm-hmm. one fish that was caught by somebody on Round Lake at 1 year. It was a real heavy 45-inch fish, and 2, 3, 4 years later, it was caught by one of the guides, and it was like a 48-inch fish. They actually weighed it. It was 35 pounds. And then quite a few numbers a year later, the fish was caught again. The last time it was caught, that time it was kept, and it was almost a 50-pound fish. It was 49 pounds. It was a big fish. So you can actually track this and see what they grow and what's going on. It's interesting.
Yeah, and sometimes what I refer to it as, you learn their stories. You know, you learn who the fish is, where they go to spawn, their boy or girl, where they like to hang out in the summer. And we've gotten a bunch of these pit tag recaptures that have already been pretty interesting. We're just going to get more. We've had fish that was stocked into Sand Lake and wound up going down the creek into Whitefish, and then went down the creek into Couderay, and then went into Muskie Bay in the spring and knew where to spawn. You know, how do they do that? That's pretty cool. We've had fish go from Spider Lake down to the Tiger Cat Flowage. We're documenting different growth rates now. So we had another fish that was stocked into sand. It moved into Whitefish Lake and grew to 40 inches in 4 years. That's off the charts growth. And we just don't get that unless we're putting these tags out there and then successfully recapturing these fish to get the information back off of them. So we're going to learn all kinds of interesting stuff. And like I said, it's ramping up. We're getting more and more of this every year.
Very, very interesting thing. I want to have you. Thank you for coming on here, Max.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, as usual, Max is always very informative and interesting to hear from. We need to take another break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We come back, we've got an interview with fishing guide Tim Duffy talking about spring crappie fishing. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Pet owners, blastomycosis is a serious disease that threatens dogs in our area. Blasto is a fungus that grows in the spring and fall when the soil temperature is 39 degrees. The fatal disease results just 6 to 12 weeks later. Unfortunately, dogs love to dig and sniff in just the type of soil that houses these fungal spores. At Hayward Animal Hospital, they urge you to prevent your dogs from entering swampy areas during the thaw. If you have questions, call the Hayward Animal Hospital at 634-8971, located east of Hayward on Highway B.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host is fishing guide Eric Tuohy. And Eric, you know, crappie fishing, we can get out. Once we get ice out, we usually get a week or two of open water fishing, and what the only thing that's open is the crappies.
Yeah, crappies and panfish, basically, and it does give you some opportunity to get out there and have some fun and catch fish still.
You bet. Well, let's hear what Tim Duffy had to say about that, and we come back, we'll do a wrap-up on the show.
You know, once we get into the first part of the open water season, water temperature is a really big deal, something you really have to pay attention to, and I talked to Tim Duffy on that.
50 is a magic number. It's cold, but 50, even up on Shawangan Bay, like maybe not for all species, like we'll be up there fishing trout and salmon, and they like, you know, any temperature is fine. But for the walleyes to come into those bays, it almost seems like you got to get to that 50, 49, 50, and then I don't know what happens, but they'll start coming in for their spawning and everything else. So even on our lakes here, the first thing, like we were talking before, is that the first thing I do is this time of year, if you don't have a lot of rain, the water's pretty clear. Even on dark water, the floors, you can get in the shallows, and I'll just drive along slowly with my boat, stand up with a good pair of Polaroids, like you mentioned, and just scan. And, you know, if you got on the floor, if you've got a tree or something in the water, you can see those crappies and water bugs and stuff up in there. If they're not there, they might be there later in the day, but you might as well go look someplace where they're actually at, which is usually a little bit deeper. Vegetation is huge. The foliage can be logs and stuff too, but vegetation on a lot of these lakes is key. If you can find good green vegetation, there's almost always going to be fish around that stuff.
Well, you don't have a lot of green weeds out there, so finding what is out there.
But there is some. I mean, everybody, and I don't know what kind of weeds they are, but usually you go through this transition where the weeds die off. Every year, if you take the time to look, you can find some green vegetation someplace.
Well, the other thing, too, to look at is that location will change throughout the day, too.
Location, you know, I remember the first time somebody said the north side, the north shorelines tend to warm up faster than the south, and so just knowing that. And it's true. So you go to the northerly shorelines, and if you got a temperature gauge, even if you don't, you better off going to the north shoreline, because that water can be 1 to 2 degrees warmer or more than the opposite shoreline. So, and usually your weeds will grow better on that north shoreline earlier than they will on the south shoreline. So something like that can save you a lot of time to worry to go look and where not to look or where to start. But if you're not getting them, as always, don't sit in one spot, keep moving.
When they're out in that deeper water before they move shallow, most often they will move up in the water though too, before they move horizontally.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, here, the shallowest water will warm up the fastest, but it will cool down the fastest. So if you got a cold night, the fish aren't going to be up there on that shoreline. They're going to be out in deeper water, and they're usually, most lakes, it usually seems to be like that 10 to 12 feet around some vegetation. And they'll stay there it's the most stable water because it's not changing, you know, as much as the shallow. They'll stay there for some time, usually near the bottom, but as things start to warm up, they'll start to rise and drop in the water column, and then they'll start to rise and drop, but actually go towards the shoreline. And so if you know this, how many times have you sat in one spot and you're just banging the crap out of them, one after another, and you go, oh, no more bites. We lost them. Well, they're moving. They're constantly moving. So you got to kind of move with them, and usually what I'll do is either throw a buoy, but if we miss them, we'll go a little bit this way, a little bit that way, maybe cast a little bit this way, but you're searching, and then we make the move again to stay with them. And constantly changing our bobber settings, or what I call it is the slow roll. Cast it out, let it sit at a certain depth. Then I'll change my speed and just retrieving the bobber, which lifts the jig up. And if you're getting bites while you're doing that means they're higher. You know, so it kind of tells you where to set guys at.
You know, one of the other things that I found works really good, like on the Chippewa flowage, when those fish come up out of those weeds in 10, 12 feet of water, is put on a beetle spin and just start casting and yo-yoing your bait. You're covering all different water depths, and you're touching the top of them weeds. And over last summer or last spring, we were out there, exact same scenario, and people are catching crappie here and crappie there. We're catching one after another.
And you know, a lot of guys think of just like throw the beetle spin out and buzz it back in. It's a lot of times just a slow rolling retrieve, and you can change that, and just in your mind knowing that the bait's coming up higher slower, lower, and change it up. Even stop and let it fall a little bit. And be aware of when you get your bite, because that will tell you if you got to be up higher or down lower. So when we're sitting in the boat doing this, if we're not sure, everybody starts off with a different depth. And then I start doing the slow roll, and when somebody starts getting fish and everybody else isn't, we adjust to what that person's doing, and then we're all catching fish. I tend to constantly be the one that's always searching, though, because the one method doesn't seem to be true, because they're changing all the time.
And once you determine that the fish have moved, they're moving horizontally, and they get up next to the shoreline, then it's mostly just bobber fishing?
Definitely. And here, when the fish get in the shallows, it's pretty simple. You only got a foot of water to deal with. Go out in 10, 12, 15 foot of water, you got a lot of, you got the up and down to deal with. So you got to find them in that thing, and usually you got to be above them, you know, to get them. If you're underneath them, you're not going to get them. So shallow water, that's the best, because you only got to set your bobber down, you know, 6 inches if you're in a foot of water, or a foot in 2 feet of water, they're going to grab it pretty much either way. A lot of times, even just casting it in there, as the bait's sinking from the bobber, they'll grab it. You know, it's just shallow water is just easier for them to get the bait.
It's a little tougher though when they're sitting there with their back out of the water.
Then, you know, and people think that's the best. A fly rod or floating anything, the small floating Rapalas, dynamite. Cast them out there, and just, you can see the fish chasing that thing. And even when they've got their backs out, a bobber is almost too much. As it hits the water, you spook them. So you almost got to overcast them and slowly bring it into them, you know. But when they're up here with their backs out, you got to be up there with them. So you usually got to be some kind of a top water, a chugging bait. And actually, bluegills are very aggressive. They'll pop that stuff. It's a lot of fun.
We've got a lot of good water around here for bluegills and crappies, both in the Hayward area.
We've got a lot of good water around here for everything.
Tim, I want to thank you for taking your time. Come on here. You want to give out your guide information?
Yeah, people can get a hold of me at 715-634-5100. Always appreciate being on your show, John.
Well, you know, it was interesting hearing him, you know, and there'll be some good fishing available here all up till we have the first opener in May. You just got to get out there and do it. Make sure your boat's ready and everything's ready to go. A couple things I should announce here before we get into talking about much more about stuff is that, you know, the annual conservation hearings will be coming up, and that's coming up quick here. It'll be April 9th, and that'll be at the Winter High School this year at 7 o'clock, and hopefully we're going to see a lot of people there because they've got some interesting things to talk about on it.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. A lot of information for folks, and all good things that we'd be looking at for our future fisheries. So,
bet, you know. And the other thing coming up, too, is the spring turkey season. So if you haven't got out and started preparing for that, you better get going.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they're, you know, if you're going through your turkey bag and you're, you know, or your vest and you're realizing, oh, I got to replace a box call or maybe some mouth calls, we're going to have those stuff for you turkey hunters here at the store.
You know, Eric, talking about preparing, I mean, this is the time right now we better start thinking about your reels, getting your reel service, whether you do it yourself or you take them in like the Hayward Bait and send them off and have them greased and lubed and new line on and go through your poles, make sure the guides are all okay and go through your tackle boxes and a lot of other things.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old farmer saying, you know, you reap what you sow. And if you take the time and go through your gear a little bit, even if it's just simply wiping stuff down, dusting it off, oil and greasing, you know, but, you know, look at, you know, and think about what, you know, last season, maybe, oh gosh, I actually forgot that this eyelet on this guide was busted out, whatever it may be. It's only going to make your outings out on the, whether it's in the woods or on the water, a lot more enjoyable.
I know some guys that even go, I know Tim Duffy goes through and sharpens a lot of hooks on his trolling crankbaits for walleyes, just make sure everything's needle sharp.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, so there's a lot of things you can prepare, and the other thing is your boat. You got to start thinking about getting that boat out and ready, because hopefully you put it to bed right last winter or last fall, and you want to get out there. And one thing I will say, first of all, before anything else, if you didn't check your wheel bearings, you need to check those wheel bearings. Everybody tends to neglect that stuff. They think, oh, I got bearing buddies, I just squirt some grease in there. that does not stop water from getting in there eventually, and water gets in there does not mix with the bearings.
Yeah, going through your boat is a huge one. I mean, if you're spending time on the water, all those things need to be looked over and assessed.
Well, we're about out of time for this week's show. I want to remind folks that if you miss a show, you can hear that show, but go to our website at wnoradio.net. We've got it on our podcast site, and we've also got it on a new YouTube channel out there. And if you go to YouTube and search for John Myrie or search for Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, you'll find it in a lot of interesting things. Besides the radio show, some interesting interviews with like our DNR biologists and stuff, and a lot of information there.
Absolutely. That's a great avenue to check out, John.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for coming on here.
Thank you for having me, John.
And folks, we're out of time. We'll see you again next week with another interesting show.
Me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.